Well, I wanted to share with you tonight. A lot of times, as a church, we get together and we do a lot of good things, and we have a really good passion about things, and yet we have a vision that we want to accomplish. There's a vision that God has given us. It's a little different from the mission, which is the mission is obviously, as all Christians, all churches, is to go out into the world and preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, there's a vision of each and every individual church that can be the same. It can be really very similar. But yet, I believe God has, in every individual church, I believe that God has placed in the people, within the church people, a special vision, special opportunity, if you will, to minister to people the way, only the way that we can. And so tonight I'm going to introduce a sermon series, and we're going to introduce this series. It's going to go for about 4 or 5 weeks, and it's really talking about what is it that God has called us as a church to do? Where is it that God wants us to be? What is our vision? And what is it that we need to be doing and being on board, on vision, on mission with God as a local church? And so, like I said before, the mission of each church really isn't different. The mission is to go into all the world, reaching and baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and seeking and saving the lost. And that's the mission of the Christian church. But yet, our vision is, how do we accomplish that? How are we going to nail that down and narrow it down to how to figure out that vision? So the idea behind this is, I believe, really a vision is something to help us move forward, something to help us accomplish a goal in tangible ways. And so we're going to break this down. I say we, it's because Brad's going to help us discover this as well. Brad and I have gotten together, and we're collaborating on this sermon series. And so we're going to be teaching this, basically our vision statement. And so what we first need to do, however, as a congregation, is we need to continue the fact that we are together in unity. As far as the local churches, it's division can negate a vision of a church. The word division, this word is literally constructed of the DI, the division, means double, means two visions. And so when you think of division, that very word, it's having two visions or going in two separate ways. And so I really believe that vision, vision casting, vision planning is really essential for a church to be in synergy, whatever the word you want, in harmony together and not divided. As you know, that word divide is so crazy in a church. I've seen it in my years growing up as a teenager in churches. I've seen it in my ministry. This whole church thing is weird at times, and there's a lot of division that takes place. And so we want to have vision, and everybody needs to be a part of that vision together, going forward to the same in the same place. And so double vision can be dangerous. If you're seeing two of everything, if somebody says, hey, I think we should be doing this as a church, we need to be over here, we need to be doing that, and then another person is saying, well, we need to do this or that, double vision is absolutely chaos. And so we want to make sure that we're speaking the same thing. We're speaking the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I appeal to you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to stop arguing among yourselves. Everybody say, stop arguing.
Stop arguing.
Yeah. Not everybody said it, I could tell. It's Saturday night. Nobody wants to talk. Everybody say, stop arguing.
Stop arguing.
There. Man, I may be preaching to this side of the room tonight. Stop arguing. That's biblical. Stop arguing amongst yourselves. Let there be real harmony so there won't be divisions or two visions. So there won't be divisions in the church. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. You see, this was the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. He was simply giving this unbelievable God-breathed wisdom God breathed. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit writes Scripture through someone else. The inspired word of God. He has given this beautiful God-breathed wisdom that he says, I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and in purpose. And so we as a church need to speak the same thing. We need to make sure that we know that we know that we know why we're here. Why do we exist? So I'd love to take a poll, and I won't because we don't have time tonight, and it'd be quite awkward for some. If I went around the room tonight and I said, why do you think Dighton Church exists? Why do you attend Dighton Church? Why do you come here? For what reason? For what purpose? For what vision do you have? And I would say that in a church this size, of our entire church, we would probably have 25 different reasons why people come or call Dighton Church their church. And I wouldn't doubt it. 25 may be a small guess. Because for some, people come to church because we like the band. For some, come to church because we like the pastor. Some people come to church because the sermons are okay. Some people come to church because that's what I was raised to do. Some people come to church because that's what my wife tells me to do every week. You see, some people come to church because they don't even know why they come to church, because it's just something you're supposed to do. Trust me, people in the western side of the state like this, like we have, you all come to church a little bit more than people on the east side. People on the east side of the state, Detroit area, they're cool, they're good, they don't need church. They don't need God in their life. And so, interesting how we find this like the belt buckle of the Bible Belt on the west side of the state. Because over on the east side, they're just like, no, I'm good. I don't care if my parents or grandparents went to church. You're not going to tell me that I need God in my life. I'm good. Of course, you find that around here as well. I'm not just saying that that's on the east side of the state. But you see, the human condition is basically saying, why do we do what we do? And I just want to make sure that we as a church are speaking the same thing, that our motives are correct, and that we know exactly why we do what we do here at Dighton Church. So if there were people, if a news crew came in through those back doors today after church, and if they interviewed each and every one of you, and they said, so why do you attend that church anyways? That you would be able to in a heartbeat, you would be able to ramble off the exact reason why we exist as a church. That is my goal. That we all, not just to say, oh, here's a uniform answer that we just need to give everybody, but in heartfelt, understanding the words and that we are speaking the same thing, that we're, our ideas are in the same place. So we need to not only speak the same thing as a church, but in one single vision, we need to be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Perfectly joined together in the same mind. You see, there must be unity of thought if a local church has to have an effective impact for God in our community. Once again, unity and uniformity are not the same thing. God has given all of us different perspectives to bring to such an awesome, huge, amazing place like this. You know, I built a handful of things in my life, and I'm not the greatest construction person in the world. I've done some things. I built a few things. I can put some stuff together. But I tell you what, if I never used nails, if I never used glue, if I never built the thing the way I was supposed to, I know for a fact that it would fall apart. That's easy to think of. That's easy. But when we are joined together as a church, when we are joined together with the glue of the Holy Spirit, the glue of the vision of where God has called each and every one of us, we will be perfectly built as a church going forward and doing what God has called us to do. How can we do this? I mean, you think about it. How can we as a church of how many people were maybe 170 people, how can we all be joined together moving forward in the same vision? Well, it's a lot of teaching. A lot of training, a lot of sermons on this type of thing, a lot of emphasis in our leadership to make sure that we are going all in the same direction, making sure that we are perfectly joined together in the same mind, and not being divided. We also need to be perfectly joined together in the same purpose. With the same purpose as that is exactly what Paul has told the church of Corinth. Let me read it again. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I appeal to you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to stop arguing among yourselves. Let there be real harmony so there won't be divisions in the church. I plead with you to be of one mind, unified in thought and in purpose. So to be perfectly joined together in the same purpose. I love the word harmony. I'm a music person. I understand harmony. You guys can sing harmony beautifully. Some can't get it, right? You either have it or you don't. You know, to sing harmony doesn't mean, you see, this is what I love about music. The word harmony, it means that you're not singing the same thing as the person next to you. Because if we were singing the same thing, it would be the same thing. But you can offer something just as beautiful in a different note that works well together with the melody. And it's a beautiful thing together. So we all don't have to be the same people. You all don't have to be like me. I don't all have to be like you. You see, we can be different but perfectly joined together for the same purpose. Does that make sense? Harmony. I love that word because it's a musical term. That even though I'm me, I do what I do, and my gifts and abilities are here, your gifts and abilities are over here, but as long as we're working together in harmony, the vision and the purpose will be accomplished. And so we've got to have that unity. So I want to just kind of reiterate for you the vision of our church for this next couple of years. I really feel like God has called us to this, and it's called Love, Liberate, Lead, and Launch. Love, Liberate, Lead, and Launch. Super easy to memorize, super easy to grab a hold of it, and we're going to be talking about each and every one of these this next month, Love, Liberate, Lead, and Launch. But I want to give you a snapshot of the overview that these four principles, because God has outlined for us a purpose, a vision, to love people, to allow liberation in their lives, to be leading them to then launch them. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. And so as a church, if we can grab a hold of this simple vision, it's simple. If we can grab a hold of this and understand that this is a discipleship process that we all need to be a part of, not just say, oh, good, I'm glad to be a part of Dighton Church because they love people, they liberate people, they lead people, and they send people out, they launch them. No, it's you, it's me that have to be a part of this vision and make this a practice in our lives. We'll talk later this month about really how to apply this in detail. That how we are applying this, and I'm telling you, you could take your life and you can apply segments of your life to each and every one of these, I hope, to realize, wow, I had that stage where I had to learn how to love people. I had that stage in my own life, I had to learn how to love God. I had to truly learn how to love God and not the world. And so I learned how that love works. I remember the time where I had to be liberated from my sin that entangles us so much. I had to take that time and that session or that time in my life where I just had to be liberated, that God had done a huge work in my life. I remember those times. I remember those people that helped me through that liberation time. I remember those mentors that I had, those pastors, the friends. And I remember those times where I was growing in leadership. I had to have somebody lead me and show me and guide me and direct me, whether it was from to be a Christian or to be a pastor, to be a father. I needed somebody to lead me. And then I remember that time where I was launched by God, and where people had prayed for me. And people laid their hands upon me and anointed me and said, you're ready to go. Now you need to get out of here and go. Be sent. You see, it's a process. And that process in our lives, I think every one of us can identify. And so as a vision of a church, we need to hone in on these four categories of movement, if you will, and understanding that this is a discipleship, this is kind of like a discipleship pathway, if you will. And so I'm not going to get into a lot of the details because, like I said, we'll be talking about this for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And so I want to give you, though, I want to show you that that slide that we kind of, I kind of put some ideas for you. I want to give you practical examples. I don't know if you can see that from up there, but this is a huge, this is a snapshot of my brain. It's just, whoa. So I don't even think I understand my brain sometimes, but I want to give you an idea of what we're talking about here. So if you look at the upper left-hand corner, the blue word love, and above that it says start here. Start here. And so under the auspice, or if you will, the category of love, you have all of our ministries here at the church that we could be loving others, that we are able to care for one another and love others. And so from the food truck to the local missions, special events, outreach, church health, kids hope, first impressions, Sunday church, small groups. And I'm sure I can add more and we can think about more. But see, you say, how in the world can we love people? Well, there's some examples how we love as a church. And if you move to the right, there's a little arrow. You follow red little roadmaps here. And then there's liberate. So you see the liberate, and we have Alcoholics Anonymous, the community impact, celebrate recovery, financial peace, student ministry, spiritual formation, worship, and all of that stuff that goes along with it are allowing people to be liberated from their sin. And then you move downwards into lead, and we've got leadership trainings, quad leadership, team leaderships, coaching, mentoring, small groups. And of course, then you go over to we launch. You can be a small group leader. You can go from being just a small group attender to being launched and launch your own group. We've got internships. You can church matching scholarships where we're giving students money, man. We're giving them cash to the university so that they can be schooled, so that they can have a Christian higher education. Missions trips, micro churches. You know, what's a micro church? You can have a micro church in your living room. It's sending people, it's launching transformational ministries in your community. And so we want to launch micro churches everywhere. We want to plant churches. We want to have lay pastors, people who feel that they're called to shepherd and called to ministry that we have here in missions. And there's a bunch of other ones that we could list. I just ran out of paper. And notice that I didn't stop with the little red roadmaps. I go right back up to love. You see why? Because if we were just to launch and we stopped there, it wouldn't matter. We really wouldn't be making a difference. Because why do we church plant? Just to add to the little check in the district to say, hey, we've church plant. Cool. We checked that box. No, that's not why. It's because we want to love people and show the love of Jesus Christ. Is that we want to have missions and microchurches and missions trips, and just because so we can love people and show them the love of Christ. And it's a beautiful circle. And so this is the overview of the vision of the church, is that we as a church are active in our mission so that we can love people, that we can show love people, so they'll be liberated from their sin, and that then we lead them, and then they lead others, and then we launch. You see, it's that process. So again, we're going to be going through this vision, because somebody said one time, I heard that vision leaks. You ever hear that? Vision leaks. It's like if we dumped our vision as a church into a barrel, and we said, "Here's our vision. We're gonna just share it with everybody. We're gonna post it everywhere." That barrel has like 3 or 4 or 5 holes in the bottom. Eventually, it'll leak out. It'll just, people forget about it. We just go, "Oh yeah, what? Why are we here as a church? We got a great softball team." You know, that's why we are here, is to fellowship with one another. Wait a minute, what? Oh, but we've got some great music and some great services that we put on every Sunday morning and Saturday night. See, that's why we're here. That's why we exist, is to gather. Wait a minute, what? That's not what I read in my Bible. Is that why we exist? See, it's all of this. It's understanding the mission. It's understanding the vision of our church and what God calls us to do in Scripture. And so tonight, it's simply is that we're called to unity. We're called to vision, not division. Not division. We want to be together, and we want to be in unison with one another. Paul says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, I appeal to you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to stop arguing among yourselves. Let there be real harmony so that there won't be divisions in the church. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose." One mind, united in thought and purpose. You see, out of the Scriptures, out of this passage of Scripture, I read that that's the way that as our church is going to get something done around here. That's the way our church is going to get something done. And so if I can turn that upside down, the way that Satan wants us to not do a thing in our community is to have us be divided. Satan wants us to be of separate minds in our thoughts and our purpose. He wants us to have different purposes throughout the church, that somebody wants to do this, somebody wants to do this. And see, that's what I believe Satan would have of our church. And so therefore, we all throw up our hands and go, "Oh, what is my one little voice going to do? What can I truly do in our church? Because everybody wants something else. Everybody wants to do something different." So I believe that there's amazing Holy Spirit wisdom in this passage of Scripture. To be of one mind, united in the thought and purpose. So, band, if you guys would come on up, and let's continue to worship tonight as we close our time together. I want you to pray for your church. I want us to be in prayer for what God has called us to do. See, we're even doing this Saturday night evening service in preparation for maybe something else. There's not a whole lot of people in here on a Saturday night, but you see, we're doing this in preparation for something different. Maybe there's a group of people who are interested in coming together and being on a team that says, what can we do to put our heads together and prayerfully consider what God wants us to do outside of those doors. So tonight I want us to just to pray. As the band plays, as we worship, I want you to pray, God, what is my role in something like this? I know that's overwhelming. That's some people go, I'm going to have nightmares looking at that. That freaks you out. You see, I want you to pray, say, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is my part in the vision of the church so that I can be unified with others in purpose and in thought? So take this moment and let's just pray and simply ask God that very thing for you in your life.